on the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
I had the opportunity recently to get the chance to review the First Nations Version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament from InterVarsity Press. And I'm really thrilled to have a chance to talk to one of the people that was most responsible for this new translation and the wonderful story that goes along with it. We're delighted to welcome Terry Wildman, the lead translator, general editor, and project manager of the First Nations Version. He serves as the director of spiritual growth and leadership development for Native InterVarsity. He is also the founder of Rain Ministries and has previously served as pastor and worship leader.
I guess I envisioned the translation and I became the lead translator and the general editor would be and project manager for the translation.
You formed a translation council.
That's correct, yes.
This included Native Americans, Native North Americans from over 25 different tribes, as well as church leaders and church members.
Yes, we had a council of 12 that made a lot of the early decisions when we met together and we began to figure out how we would do this translation. And then we added later a lot of reviewers from all over North America that were part of reviewing and giving feedback for the translation, all of them being Native people.
The term First Nations, that was a new name to me, but this is apparently a designation that has been used in Canada for some time, correct?
Yes, First Nations is primarily used in Canada, although it's gaining more ground here in the United States also. So it's becoming a more common way to refer to the indigenous people of North America as those who are the First Nations here. So we chose to use that name because of the general acceptance of that term.
I like it. I think it is more descriptive, and I also like the idea that it shows a relationship between Canada and the United States, which there certainly would be, particularly for the indigenous people. Members of the council that were with a number of Native American tribes that would be familiar to most of our listeners and to your readers, but also some that might be new. So this was not just something that one group did or one tribe was involved in. I love that idea, too, that this really is a collaborative effort among many members of First Nations.
Yeah, that was the idea. You know, we worked with a Bible translation organization called One Book out of Canada. We partnered with them, and they helped us to form this council. They supported us. They brought us together in the beginning. We had a three-week time in Canada, at Calgary, Canada, where we worked together as a group. And then we also spent time in Florida with the Wycliffe Associate organization that also does Bible translation, just to kind of formulate how we would proceed and what method we would use for the translation. So yeah, it was a collaborative effort. A lot of Native, as we say, First Nations people were involved, and also from different Christian backgrounds. All of them were followers of Jesus, but they came from many different kinds of denominational, non-denominational kind of backgrounds.
It really is a very diverse group of people, First Nations, and trying to be inclusive of these different denominations and different traditions within Christianity as well. It's in English, and my first thought about the reason that it was in English is that if you try to choose one language over another, that would be complicated. But there's an even more pragmatic reason for that, correct?
Yes, and one of the reasons is there have been generations of government assimilation policies that were sometimes and oftentimes participated in by church and mission organizations. And because of that, we were not permitted to speak our language, so we were never taught. When the Bible got translated into our mother tongues, we weren't taught to read that language. Mm. And so most of our Native people, over 90%, are unable to read the translations in our mother tongues. So we felt there needed to be a translation in English, since we're all speaking English now, that was what we would call Native-friendly wording, and also it was going to be intertribal. In other words, it's not based on any particular tribe or native nation and their culture. It's more of a general way that native people kind of come together because of the different gatherings we have, the powwow gatherings and things like that. We've developed a way of just kind of relating to each other. And so we use kind of general terms that are accepted by most of our tribal people.
What makes this such an incredible and beautiful translation to read is that you chose to follow the native naming traditions and use the meanings of names for people and places in the great story. And this, to me, is what makes it so vibrant and so beautiful.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that has been the feedback from everyone. Native or non-native people love the fact that we translated the basic meaning of every name and every place in the New Testament, which fits our native way, our traditional native way of is that our all of our names had meaning. And so, and that's true biblically also of the names in the Bible. And we know that. We know that most of us who grew up in church understand that Abraham is the father of many nations because that's what his name means.
Right.
And that it has some impact on the story of why God called him and how God called him to be who he is. And so, and that's true of other people too. Peter's own name, Rock or Petros, has meaning. He was going to be the Rock, and Jesus played off his name to make a statement about the church would be built on a rock. So, you know, we use that, and that has been the feedback that people like that the best. As far as I know, it's the first translation that's ever captured the meanings of all the names.
Yes, I love that in this translation, Jesus is his name is Creator Sets Free. That is powerful. I never thought about calling him that, although that Jesus is our Redeemer. The idea of setting us free, that's exactly what he did. That's a beautiful example. And you also explain in the introduction of the book about why God, which is traditionally used in English versions for over 500 years, is not maybe the best word to use, that it is a translation of theos, but that was a general term for the divine, you say, and can be used for not just the God, but for gods with a small g, the tribal deities and so forth.
Yes, and so in that sense, the only way in an English translation you would know whether it's talking about the Supreme Being was if it was capitalized.
Right.
G-O-D. Or if it was a small g, you would assume that it meant some other god, lesser being, lesser spirit than the Great Spirit. So in our native way, we refer to the Great Spirit as the Supreme Being. We refer to Creator as the Supreme Being. So that's what we chose that wording because the word God is not an inspired usage in English of the term theos or the Old Testament terminology for God. And if you go into other languages, you're going to find out that term, you know, not every language uses the term G-O-D.
Right.
You know, they use other terms within their own language to speak of the Supreme Being. And so it worked out for us quite well. And it's very accurate to the meaning that the Bible's trying to get across. There is a Supreme Being. There is a Creator. There is one who made all of us, and he has a Son.
It really gives a vibrancy to reading this. This is a Bible that needs to be read aloud, isn't it? This New Testament translation needs to be read aloud. In case you're late joining us, we're talking to Terry M. Wildman, who was the person who envisioned the First Nations version, helped form the First Nations Version Translation Council with the help of One Book and Wycliffe Associates. It expanded into a collaborative effort. This is the result, the First Nations Version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament from InterVarsity Press, IVP. you include essentially a translation of first couple of chapters of Genesis. And
yeah,
I think what makes this so beautiful, it rings as you say it, that it has joy and an awe built into this translation. And this is why I really wanted to get a chance to talk to you today. So as you were working with these all these other representatives, different First Nations tribes and translators and so forth, you did it this way because in all of these tribal traditions, the oral tradition came first, like any everywhere else in the world, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we often think of the Bible, as a textbook, but it's really a storytelling book.
Yes.
It tells stories, and the Gospels are stories. The Gospels aren't really doctrines. They're stories that teach us something. And, of course, we derive doctrines from the stories, but actually it's the story itself that gives meaning to the teaching, a lot more meaning when you set it in the context of the story. And that's the way our Native people have always been. We always have had storytellers. And our storytellers were traditionally, they told stories in ways that are unique to the storyteller and meaningful to the listeners. So they draw from history, tradition, and experience. So a storyteller will ensure the essence of the story is preserved without the need to present a strict word-for-word recital. And that's how we approach this. This isn't a word-for-word translation. It's a meaning-for-meaning translation, what sometimes is called dynamic equivalence. That's what the experts tell me that we ended up doing.
Yeah.
What we tried to do was simply be good storytellers.
You certainly did an amazing job. This is such a beautiful translation that I really hope that lots and lots of all sorts of Christian traditions embrace it and use it. And it certainly is a wonderful work for First Nations believers to use, but I think it's just a beautiful translation. Is there a particular passage? I know this is like asking someone who's their favorite child. Is there a particular translation or a particular passage in this translation that you that for you it says so much about the work that you guys did for so long to put all this together? Is there one particular passage that particularly more meaningful to you, say, in this First Nations translation than say a King James or NIV or anything like that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of interesting, so many passages, but I can read you one from Luke that kind of captures more of our cultural way of understanding prayer and spiritual things. In Luke 11:9-10, it says this: "Keep dancing your prayers, and the way will open before you. Search for the ancient pathways, and you will find them. Keep sending up your prayers, and they will be heard. Answers will come to the ones who ask. Good things will be found by the ones who search for them, and the way will open before the ones who keep dancing their prayers." So we incorporated the Native idea, the way we pray. One of the ways we pray is in our dances, every step is a prayer. And we have other ways of praying also that we capture in different places. We used a terminology that Black Elk, one of our Native traditional elders from the Lakota people, he would talk about sending his voice to the Great Spirit. So we use that for prayer in certain places. We said, when I send my voice to the Great Spirit, here's what I say. Here's what I ask for. Mm-hmm. And so we incorporated that Native way of understanding prayer and these things. But again, prayer is important. The way we pray, the expression of prayer isn't as important as who are we praying to.
Yes.
You know, so are we praying to the Creator? Are we praying to the Great Spirit? Are we praying to God? And of course, our native people have always, in most of our tribes, you will find that they believe in a supreme being, mm-hmm. and that we also acknowledge that supreme being as a great spirit, the great spirit, not a great spirit, but right. the great spirit and the creator of all things.
One of my favorite passages in the Bible is in John 1, particularly going through verse 14. With your permission, I'd love to read this aloud.
Oh, please, yeah.
The title of passage in here is Creator's Word Comes Down, and the title of the book is He Shows Goodwill, Tells the Good Story. Long ago, in the time before all days, before the creation of all things, the one who is known as the Word was there face to face with the Great Spirit. This Word fully represents Creator and shows us who He is and what He is like. He has always been there from the beginning, for the Word and Creator are one and the same. Through the Word, all things came into being, and not one thing exists that He did not create. Creator's life shined out from the Word, giving light to all human beings. This is the true light that comes to all the peoples of the world and shines on everyone. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it or put it out. Into the wilderness of the land of promise, Judea, came a man named Gift of Goodwill, John. He was sent by the Great Spirit to tell what he knew about the light so everyone could believe. He was not the light, but came to speak the truth about the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the darkness of this world. He came down into this world, and even though he made all things, the world did not recognize him. Even his own tribe did not welcome or honor him. But all who welcome and trust him receive their birthright as children of the Great Spirit. They are born in a new way, not from a human father's plans or desires, but born from above by the Great Spirit. Creator's Word became a flesh and blood human being and pitched his sacred tent among us, living as one of us. We looked upon his great beauty and saw how honorable he was, the kind of honor held only by this one Son who fully represents his Father, full of his great kindness and truth. Oof. Wow, that is beautiful. And such powerful words. And one of the things, as I was reading, those who heard me noticed that I said kind of in parentheses, that's because in this translation, you do have the names, the original names from the English translations of people and yeah. places, but they're always it's kind of small and in parentheses. So those of us who have never heard those versions of their names before can go, oh, okay, he's talking about Judea, or he's talking about John the Baptist, the baptizer, and so forth. So that helps those of us who are unfamiliar with this style or these this nomenclature to be able to follow the narrative. But it's just beautiful. I love the imagery of, and I'd heard another translation recently that said that in this passage that God became a human and pitched his tent among us. And the idea of not just dwelling among us, which is what many of the English translations say, but he made his home among us. That is really a wonderful reminder, isn't it, that Jesus didn't just come for a visit. He pitched his tent with us.
Yeah. It's really been something that we were hoping for, was that the majority culture with this translation that's coming from Native people, from First Nations people, we have been sadly devalued so much in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so we're hoping that this will help raise awareness and help people to see that Native people have something very beautiful and powerful to bring to the table. Things that we need as believers in Jesus, we need every expression. We need every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We need all these perspectives if we're going to get a full view of who the Creator is, instead of this mono cultural view that many of us grew up with. And so our hope is that this will help raise awareness and bring understanding between the majority culture and our native people.
Well, it is an incredible work. And the kind of short version of Genesis in here that's entitled Prologue is just as beautiful. The names that are used in it, accuser, which is what Satan means anyway. That's a better translation. Father of many nations, as you said earlier, that of course is Abraham. Isaac, which is laughter. They named him, he made us laugh, because they laughed when Creator told them they would have a child. He made us laugh, had a son who he named Heel Grabber. That's the exact translation of the name that we usually use as Jacob, but that's what the Hebrew name meant.
Right.
We're actually going back to original sources and translating from them into English rather than just from another English version and tweaking it a little bit. That impresses me a lot. I was a bivocational Methodist minister for 29 years. I take the Bible really seriously, but I also am a musician, so I love, from a family of artists, so I love the artistry and the beauty of the words that are being used here and the way it tells this the great story. I'm just really blown away by this. I can't wait till that you guys will come out with the entire Bible in the First Nations version, because this New Testament is just wonderful. I am absolutely going to get some copies and pass them out to buddies of mine who are still active pastors and say, you need to consider using this in the pulpit on Sunday, because this speaks to power. This is beauty and majesty and awe. This tells the story in a wonderful and fresh way. I really think that the work that you guys did together is truly of God, because it is a blessing to read.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. There's so much in there. A lot of people don't understand that the name Jesus that we use in the English was first introduced about 400 years ago with the Geneva Bible. And before that, the first King James Bible, the original one, the very first edition, didn't even use the English term Jesus. It was Jesus instead of Jesus. And So sometimes people are nervous. Are you trying to cover up the name of Jesus? Can you be saved by calling on the name of Creator Sets Free? And I just, well, you know, yes, you can, because it's pointing to the one who came to save us, you know. And so, there's a lot in there, and I'm really blessed, and so is our translation council. There's so many people, native and non-native, are receiving more and more from the scriptures through the translation. So I really want to thank you. I do want to say this before I close that.
Yeah.
I want to acknowledge the people of the land I'm currently living on. My wife and I live in Maricopa, Arizona. We live on the traditional lands of the Pima and the Tohono O'odham. And my native ancestry includes both Ojibwe and Yaqui. So Miigwech, the Zendawiyai, that means thank you for listening in Ojibwe. It's been good to be here with you.
Absolutely. And Terry, I appreciate that very much. In the very back of the book, it says, for more information, visit FirstNationsVersion.com. You can go to Facebook.com/FirstNationsVersion. You can find out more about it. And if you're coming in on the tail end of the interview and you missed it, you can go to my podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com and you can listen to it again. Once again, just great opportunity to get a chance to talk to you about this amazing and beautiful First Nations Version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament from IVP. Thank you so much for being with us.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Appreciate it also. It is being picked up all over the place, and
yes,
it's sold out almost within the first 30 days. I think they sold their first printing out. And I've probably done nearly 50 podcasts with different kinds of groups of Native and Christian and universities, all kinds of different, you know, conservative to liberal and in between, you know. Everybody seems to be getting something out of it, and that just so blesses me. And so I'm going to keep doing these interviews, help get the word out. Thank you for your part in this, and I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Terry. Thank you so much. Keep up the good God work.
Will do.
God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
We've been talking to Terry M. Wildman, who was the guy who envisioned this and put together the group representing over 25 different First Nations tribes involved in this translation. Incredible work. First Nations version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament from InterVarsity Press. Check the website ibpress.com. You can also, again, go to firstnationsversion.com and on Facebook, facebook.com/firstnationsversion. Thanks so much for joining us. Look for a copy of this, and if you want to order, you can also go to ivpress.com or at your favorite bookstore. Go in and ask them to get a copy for you. It is really, really wonderful and beautiful. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station and your favorite podcast. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless. Every Sunday at 9:30 on FM 94.7 and at 11:30 on AM 970 and FM 96.3, hear some of the best authors in America today discussing their new books. On the Bookshelf, an exclusive presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTBS.